Science. Science is at the pointy end of many things these days, from epidemiology to the climate change. There is a lot of lab-coated heavy lifting going on out there, but not everyone is convinced. Some are quite loudly unconvinced by science, you may have heard. For someone like philosopher Lee McIntyre, it is troubling when the best scientific advice is not just ignored, but is disputed, is ridiculed, is rejected. However, Lee has not gone quietly. He's done the opposite. He believes that if you do nothing or say nothing in the face of that scientific hesitancy, it will only make the situation worse. Lee McIntyre is a research fellow at the Centre for Philosophy and History of Science at Boston University. He has a new book published by MIT Press, How to Talk to Science Deniers, Conversations with Flat Earthers, Climate Deniers and Others Who Defy Reason. And he joins me now from Boston. Lee, hello.
Hello, thanks so much for having me.
But those last two words, Lee, defying reason, how do you reason with someone who defies reason?
Jonathan Swift said it best, that you can't reason somebody out of something that they didn't reason themselves into in the first place. and that's really the key to the whole book right there. If you talk to a science denier and you think that they're going to be convinced by your facts, and you try to shove those facts down their throat and, you know, you're haughty and insulting, it won't work. Talking to a science denier is a very ginger thing, and they're not really convinced by facts and evidence, because that's not what got them to believe it in the first place.
Is the fundamental issue with so much of this here societal, that science is just representative of another of those sort of cultural elites that so many people represent, that it's not the science itself, it's sort of the social position that knowledge represents?
You raise a really important point. Tom Nichols had a book a few years back called The Death of Expertise, and I think that in some ways science has gotten caught up in the growing contempt that people have for those in positions of authority. We see this in the United States for people who are politicians, you know, other government officials, for members of the media. Scientists, I think, get some of that too. Some of the polling data I've seen shows that scientists are still in better shape than politicians or others might be. But still, I think some of the backlash is, as you've defined it.
Your book before this, The Scientific Attitude, how are things developed between those two?
One book really led to the other. Scientific Attitude was about what's special about science. And what I determined in that book was that it wasn't really the method or the logic of science. It was the idea that scientists approach evidence with an open-minded attitude, such that they care about evidence and they're willing to change their mind on the basis of new evidence. And then it occurred to me, that's the exact opposite of what science deniers do. Science deniers really will often be flummoxed by the question, what evidence could convince you that you were wrong? So they claim to be convinced by evidence, but then when you challenge them, okay, so, you know, as an empiricist, as a skeptic, tell me, what could I, you know, if such and such were true, would that convince you? They can't really answer that question. So I went out on the road. I got out of my studies. I'd been studying science denial for 10 or 15 years, and I began to meet with science deniers and speak to them face to face.
And you didn't go into half measures in this. You decided in 2018 you would go to, and I am somewhat surprised that this actually exists, the 2018 Flat Earth Conference.
Yes.
Take us to that room.
the Flat Earth International Conference in Denver, Colorado in November 2018. No, I didn't go gently. I thought, you know what, I'm gonna pick out the worst science deniers that I can find. And because it's elemental, and my working hypothesis was they're all the same, climate deniers, evolution deniers. And so I'll just see how this goes. And I was undercover, really, for the first day. I mean, undercover, I wore a casual clothes and had the badge on and just kept my mouth shut and listened. But then once I started to speak to them, they were, in fact, quite interested in what I had to say, because I was a bit of a rare person there. There were 650 of them and one of me. But they're dead serious and think that they have evidence to show that they're correct. And I didn't take that bait. I didn't talk to them about Newton or Aristarchus or, you know, anything I remembered from physics. I talked to them about their reasoning strategy. And so I had some very interesting conversations, which I've talked about in some detail in the book, and really came away with the idea that you can talk to people. You can get them to listen. It's too high a bar to think that you can convince somebody to give up their beliefs in a venue like that. They've spent all the money to come to a convention, and they're surrounded by 649 other people who believe what they believe. So I was not going to succeed in that. My goal was to learn what they had to say and to get them to listen to me.
But it is such a good example of the problem here, because the reality is so readily demonstrated. I mean, the human understanding of the roundness of the planet came from simple observation of curvature, and you know, just the physical senses guided us to this conclusion. So here are people refusing to accept that. It boggles the mind.
Well, it's important, and this is the key to why you should pay any attention to the flat earthers. It's because the strategy that they're using to reason, such as it is, to get to that point, is the same one that's used by people who reject climate change, and the same one that's now being used by people who are anti-vax. And so it really comes down to the question of trust. In their heart and soul, flat earthers are conspiracy theorists. They don't trust scientists. They don't trust government officials. They think that they've been lied to on a pretty vast scale.
What do they believe? I'm intrigued to know the theory.
I went to the Flat Earth International Conference. That's different than the Flat Earth Society. They hate one another, so I have to be careful. The Flat Earth International, People's Front of Judea and the Judean People's Front, right? So the Flat Earth International Conference folks believe that the Earth is flat, that Antarctica is not a continent, but instead a mountain range that is spread out around the circumference of the Earth to keep the water from falling off, that there's a dome over the Earth, so we've never done any space travel, and that the sun, moon, and stars are just outside the dome. The Flat Earth Society folks, I read a post not long ago. the Flat Earth Society, I thought you might be intrigued to know that they think that Australia is a hoax. So there's a slight difference there. They're never going to have a conference down under, because they don't think that it exists. But there's dispute even within the community. They have various models and ideas about it. So
see, and here are you and I acting out the problem here by being amused by what I would imagine determinedly held beliefs.
They are, and that gets knocked out of you right away at the conference, because they're dead serious. In the way that in the United States we've seen anti-vaxxers taking over school board meetings and screaming at the top of their lungs and threatening officials, they're dead serious as well. Now, it's a different topic, and they're afraid, right? There's some fear and disinformation, of course, behind it. But the root is the same. It's distrust. It's this idea that scientists are lying to you. And in fact, some of the flat earthers, they believe that scientists and others are lying to them about other things as well, because if you believe one conspiracy theory, you're more likely to believe another. So you know, folks who say, well, you know, why did they change their mind on masks? Or, you know, why do we need a booster for a vaccine if it worked the first time? You know, these are legitimate questions that maybe could be answered if people were listening to the evidence, but they're not, because they don't trust the folks who are passing on the evidence, and that cannot be remedied through facts.
Why then do we not simply ignore it and hope that it goes away?
Great question, because we've done that and it's gotten worse. I mean, it got so bad that the flat earthers are now having meetings and it's, you know, it's a growing phenomena. I think that we do have tools. It's not that facts are toothless. It's not that facts can't help. It's that facts don't work if the person doesn't trust you. And so the most important thing, and that really the thesis of my book, is that we have to talk to one another face to face, calmly, respectfully, patiently. We have to listen to what they have to say. And then once trust is built, you know, through personal engagement, then we can begin to ask questions, because then it's a conversation. Notice that the subtitle of the book is Conversations.
Yes.
It's not about fact flinging or, you know, yelling or insulting or lecturing somebody. It's about having a conversation, which means listening first, as I tried to do with the flat earthers, to what they had to say, because something about human connection. People need to know that they're heard, and then they'll listen to you.
Because the alternative, if you simply assault someone with your facts, is to entrench their system of belief.
That's right, and it makes them trust you less. I think that I did some good at the Flat Earth Convention simply by being cool and calm and not getting upset about anything that they said and just handling myself in an appropriately respectful way. If you think about where some of the bad information comes from that is radicalizing folks, and I mean throughout science denial, you know, climate change and such, it comes from sometimes from sources where they're demonizing the other side. They're not just providing misinformation, but they're feeding the idea that the folks on the other side are evil. Flat Earth is, for most of the folks that I spoke with, is the conspiracy is based with the devil. I mean, you can't get much more adversarial than that. So, you know, if someone believes that the truth is being hidden by the devil, how can you, you know, how can you overcome that? And I think the only way is to show up, speak to them calmly, and let them see that, no, you're actually quite a reasonable person who, you know, is trying your best. And in fact, it was quite an engaging experience for me to do it. It was uncomfortable, and I'm not gonna lie about that. But it did lead me to be more curious about the cases where hardcore deniers did change their mind on climate change, on vaccines. And once I started to read that literature, it was all the same. They all changed their mind. And I'm talking about hardcore believers. They all changed their mind because somebody that they trusted, they finally listened to. So trust is essential in talking to a science denier. If it's a stranger, try to build trust. If it's a friend or family member where you have trust, still be respectful, still be patient, because that person is in a very bad state and you need to help them get out of it.
Well, this is the interesting thing, isn't it? Because many people potentially listening now will have people in their circle who, you know, hold some strange and fanciful ideas. The thing is to be gentle with those people.
I do as well. And I have to say, in my family and friendship circle, and I have to say, sometimes, I mean, I'm sure this is universal, we sometimes treat our friends and family worse than we would treat a stranger. We sometimes are, we don't treat them with respect. We say things like, how could you believe something so stupid? I'm surprised at you. That just gets their back up.
Yeah.
And, you know, because if you feel close to somebody, you might trade on that closeness to to, you know, not be on your best behavior. That's the exact wrong thing to do.
Lee, thank you. You have charged us here with, I think, important things, important work to carry out, and given us some of the tools. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Lee McIntyre, Research Fellow at the Centre for Philosophy and History of Science, Boston University, and the book, How to Talk to a Science Denier, Conversations with Flat Earthers, Climate Deniers, and Others Who Defy Reason, published by MIT Press.